You're listening to Interviews with Adam. I'm your host, Adam Miller, and I'm joined today with one of my favorite couples here on the Cape. With no holds barred, this is probably one of my favorite ministries on the Cape because of the testimonies that it's had and what I've been able to see and the impact it has, not just here on the Cape, but internationally. I'm talking with Matt and Kathy Boyle, who head up a program for J1 students. It's a special visa program. So Matt, why don't you get us started and just briefly explain to us what this this program is that allows all these international students to come to the Cape.
Thanks, Adam. Ronald Reagan decided that taking the brightest and best students from an international forum, having them come to America and work real jobs in America, and then tour America would be hugely beneficial to them, to their countries, and to our country. He developed a visa program that's called J1, and that allows students to come on a 90 or 120-day window between their college students, so they come in on their summer break, essentially. They work hard on Cape Cod. Sometimes they work 2 and 3 jobs, and then they tour the country. They see L.A. or D.C. or any of the special things. And we have the opportunity, the golden opportunity, to touch the life of world changers. Hillsong says, "Pray and I'll give you the nations." They show up here on Cape Cod, desperate for a contact, for a loving connection with American people. And God has so blessed us that we have 4,000 students from 40 different countries, and some of them would never, ever hear the gospel except for their days here on Cape Cod.
And Kathy, this is something that you've been doing for a number of years where you have a ministry that works directly with these J1 students. How many years have you guys been working? It's grown from year to year, but when did you first get started with working with the J1 students?
In 2011, I started working with the Lower Cape J1 Summer Host Housing Program out of the Orleans United Methodist Church, and they trained me how to find housing for J1 students. And I've been finding housing for 3 years now. We've been working with people from the Cape Cod Bible Alliance Church and other churches in a group called Hello Summer J1, where we put on dinners and special events and help them to go on trips to Boston and Providence and other places students normally wouldn't get to see. And we've been doing that 3 to 4 years.
What we would really like, Adam, is for churches to say, "Wow, what an exciting opportunity to touch the life of world changers," and for them to open themselves up to do with students what they love to do. If you love to do cookouts or barbecues or trips or surfing, one church did last year, that you invite students to take part in what you love to do. And I'm an ordained minister, and I have courses in apologetics, but dinner is the best possible apologetic, where you have somebody over your dining room table or your cookout or whatever it is. That conversations have been life-changing, and we are so excited that people on Cape Cod can reach out to people that are different from them and touch their lives and change their world. Kathy had a young man who thanked her. Thank you for all you did for us last year. You're my best friend in America. And one of his friends wrote, I had no friends in America, and I was there 3 months. Dear God.
Give us an idea now on how many students actually come to just the Cape. This is an international ministry. It's all over the United States. The students are coming from all over the world. But how many students will come to the actual Cape and the islands to work for the summer?
4,000 from over 40 different countries.
4,000.
Almost 1,000 of them are from Bulgaria alone.
And so this is, I want to know more, where are the countries of these 40 countries? I mean, you have Bulgaria, a lot of these are old Russian republics, but there's also China, and there's even the Caribbean. Give us a little bit of an idea as to where some of these countries are.
Staying in our house last year, we had Ukrainian and Russian, we had Jamaican, we had Serbian, Thai, Chinese, and one of the things that happens is from Pakistan or Turkey, some of the countries it's not easy to get into, but the students go to universities in countries that find out that they're have an open border with the U.S. so that now when I say open border, every student comes in, gets checked out by Homeland Security. They have to find a job. They have to be approved by their university. So these are really the brightest and best. These are the movers and shakers of the next generation. And God has given us a chance to reach into their lives and be a blessing and touch the life of world changers. It's the coolest thing, Adam.
Tell us a little bit more now about what the J1 program is able to do through your ministry, what you're able to do through the J1 ministry, because this is a federal program allowing kids visas to come to the United States. But what is it that you can do in partnership with what is already existing?
The students come in not really knowing their way around. They don't know that they need a Social Security number. They don't know where the Social Security office is. Sometimes they come in from cultures where it's 100 degrees where they get on the flight on the other end. And as you can imagine, early in our season, sometimes the temperatures drop way below 100 degrees. Oh, yeah, 32 last year. They left on the plane at 100, came in at 32. So we're there, and then we take them and get them coats and sweaters and hats and mittens for those days. Sometimes they come in and they spend their last dime. So sometimes they need food and they need bikes. And we've given away, one of the guys in our church gave away 150 bicycles last summer. He's got 230 in his garage now and in his attic and 20 in mine. And I understand that if you're living on Cape Cod and you have a few extra bicycles, that Songtime wouldn't mind taking bicycles as donations.
No, just drop them off right here, and we'll make sure to get them on to you guys.
That's Songtime, 6A in Yarmouth, yeah. Massachusetts.
Yeah, they can find us, I'm sure. But this is a remarkable ministry that you've had, and what is even more remarkable about all of this is the kind of dreamy-eyed kids that are coming over here with absolutely no plans, and then they get here, and sometimes they have a job. They have to have a job. Help me, Kathy, if I'm wrong. They have to have a job before they get here. They have to have a place to live. But sometimes when they get here, both of those fall apart, right?
They have to have a job. That has to be in place. In some countries, the U.S. Embassy will not give you a visa unless you also have housing in place, but most of them don't require that. So some students, there was between 50 and 100 students the month of May to the middle of June that contacted me and said, "Hi, I'm at the bus station in Hyannis and I need housing." And I had to bite back from saying, "Why are you waiting till now to contact me?" But they just have this idea of America that's like Dallas. Everyone is rich and there's plenty of places to stay and you can stay on the ocean, in a house, you know. And then they come here and they end up staying in a hostel.
Or then there aren't a lot of hostels on Cape, or they end up on our couch until we find them a place. We've had as many as 12 in our home at a time until we found them a place to stay. Once we found them a place to stay, then they're either in touch with us or not, but they know that we're there. And then Daddy or Pastor Matt, I'm in the hospital. Can you help me? And so we've spent more time visiting folks in the hospital than we're used to. But I'm thrilled that they call out to us. I'm thrilled that they're smart enough to know when they need us. They start in with two jobs. In a few weeks, they find people of their own culture, their own dialect. And what a blessing. What a blessing.
Now, you could say that housing is probably one of their number one needs here on the Cape, and it's something that many of our listeners could actually get involved in. Maybe they've got an extra bedroom or even an apartment, a downstairs apartment or something to that effect. What are the needs and how can they be fulfilled, and how open are these students to even staying in an extra bedroom versus an actual apartment?
If you want to rent out your room or rent out an apartment, then you need to go to midcapej1housing.org/housing.html. There you'll find a host application form. They'll need to fill that out and email it back to the email address that's on that page. You'll need to get either a clergy reference form and a friend reference form or two reference forms and email them back to me as well. Then I'm going to have to come and see the housing that the students are going to be staying in. After that, I already have 190 housing requests, so I have plenty of students to go around. And once the students understand how difficult it is, it doesn't take them long to figure out how difficult housing is on the Cape, then they'll be willing to stay in your extra room. They'll be willing to stay in your downstairs mother-in-law apartment. And then you'll have the chance to interact with them. Sit around a meal. Make sure that you tell them that English needs to be spoken at the table because they want to practice. And then they get to see you as their friend, almost like a parent, so that when they're in trouble or they need advice, they come to you. They ask you for, you know, they ask you questions about your culture. And so that's a great opening to say, well, I'm a Christian, and here's how you can know Jesus.
It seems that the housing, some of the people listening may not be ready to jump full in and into the deep end with renting out to J1 students, foreigners that they don't know much about. But there are a lot of opportunities, maybe just having them over for a dinner. Matt, maybe you could tell us a little bit about why that opening is just getting their toe in the water will really open up the floodgates of great opportunities.
Well, when you talk about universal traits all across the world, all people breathe, water, food, shelter. Everybody needs those. Red and yellow, black and white, tall, short, skinny, fat, whatever it is, everybody needs those. And every culture breaks bread together. Now, we as Christians break bread also because we do it in remembrance of him who died to set us free. But every culture breaks bread, and it's a huge opportunity just to hear. For example, I'll ask a student, is your family religious? It's not a threatening question over lunch. And if they say, yes, we go to church Christmas and Easter every year, then in my mind, they're nominal. They understand the tenets of their faith. If they tell me they pray five times a day, it's a whole different discussion. And then the next question, are you religious? And what does that mean and what does that matter? And sometimes we even ask them, if you were to go home as a real Christian after we've explained the gospel to them, what would it mean? What would it cost in your home? And one young woman said, my mom wouldn't mind at all. My uncle would be furious. The scriptures tell us to count the cost. In America, sometimes we just go to an altar and keep on living like we used to. When the students make a decision for Christ, they have decided, not impulsively, that the Savior is worth following wherever.
Kathy, how do the students find out about this program? There seems to be 4,000 students coming to the Cape, and this is something that's happening all over the United States. How do they even find out about the opportunities to come here?
We had mentioned that first they have to be vetted by their university. Then they have to go to an agency that is connected with a U.S. sponsor. The U.S. sponsor is the one that connects the students with the employers on the Cape. We know probably out of the 12 sponsors that send students to the Cape, we have met at least 8 of them. They know who we are. They know what we do. So that's how we get heard, that or how they find us, is the sponsors say, you need to contact this person for housing. You need to contact Hello Summer. You need to go on Hello Summer J1 Facebook group so that you'll know when all these events happen.
So a lot of this is through the program itself, but I'm sure there's a lot of word of mouth as well. The students getting ideas, they come, they have a great experience, they go back and they tell their friends. Matt, I'm sure that you've seen some kids cycle through this program, even here on the Cape, that have been second and third generation kind of groups, right?
It's exciting that if their experience is good, and typically if they're in direct contact with an American family, their experience is much better. It might be that you like to go sailing. It might be that you're a golfer. It might be that you like Cape League baseball. Whatever it is that you're into, they want to share an American experience. And for some of the folks, it means that they come to church with us. We had 3 young women sing in church on Mother's Day to Kathy, a song that she sang to them, that ministered to them. So all of a sudden, 3 young women are singing a Christian song in a Christian church. Dear God, how wonderful it is when you move like that upon us.
And it seems that this program is growing as well. It seems that more and more students are trying to come here to the United States. It seems like the word of mouth, you could almost say the evangelistic fervor to come here is more exciting than the knowledge that people have here on the Cape of the opportunity to do the ministry. But your ministry is actually growing. You're getting more people to volunteer. I've been to these dinners that you guys host, and I've seen it. So tell us a little bit about how the ministry has really grown over the years.
Every church has its own flavor. It's been fascinating to watch how one church reaches out in a different way, then an entirely different way, and then an entirely different way. We've had dinners are such a good basic beginning place, because at the dinners we invite a bank to come by and the bank signs them up for banking accounts. We have a cop come by, talk about bicycle safety. We have a local doctor come by and talk about ticks and Lyme disease. And then we share the gospel. But they're sitting around the table with people from entirely different cultures. We've actually talked about rocket science. We had two students from one country and another from another country, and they were both rocket science students. Wow. And so their conversations were so far over my head, and they didn't care. They were conversing with each other about rocket science from entirely different cultures, from entirely different places, and trying to make the English work for their technical things. It's such a cool thing. We'll have dinners, and then in the dinners, the people meet American parents or American people who want to take them to this or that. And that connection. And we make van trips every week. And in the van, invariably, they ask, why do you want to do this? And the answer is that Jesus loves me and he loves you and he wants to have a relationship with you. And secondly, we get to share the things we love with you. And thirdly, we get to be an influence on world changers. It's an amazing time.
I think what's remarkable about this is just the opportunities, because I've been able to sit at these tables at some of these dinners and interact with these students, and the opportunities you have to break ground, because they're so interested in hearing, well, why are you doing this for us? I think that's probably the most prominent question we always got is, why are you doing this for us? Why are you giving us free food? Why are you hosting this dinner? And then you always do a Yankee swap. It's like, why are you giving us these gifts? And it just gives you an opportunity to share with them, we're doing this because we love you, and it's part of our faith to show you the love of Christ, correct?
And having Adam sit at the table being with an international broadcast is so cool, because the students respect professional interactions and the things that are done at songtime are just so life-changing that when they have a chance to sit and talk with Adam about how does this radio thing work? What do you do? Why are you so famous? We love that part.
Well, tell us a little bit more about what you guys get to do with the students. We talked about the dinners, we talked about the housing, and you've mentioned a little bit about these trips to Boston, but you've housed these students personally. Tell us a little bit about some of the examples that you've had, some of the interactions that our listeners would love to hear these stories that would inspire them to get involved as well.
One of the young ladies, she's from Kazakhstan, and one of the ladies that was staying with us said, oh, she doesn't have a place to stay. Can we please have her just for a few days? So we said, yeah, sure. And she was a Muslim from Russia, actually, from Kazan, Russia. And she ended up coming to church. And it was a night where Pastor Perry just really preached the gospel really strong, and in communion, really strong. My husband got up and shared the gospel again. And she's starting to cry. And we have a youth leader, Ina Taylor, who speaks Russian. So she leaned over to this young woman and said, why are you crying? And she says, because I understand. I understand that I have sin. I understand that I need forgiveness. And so Ina said, well, pray with me. And she goes, but I'm a Muslim. And she, for 20 minutes, she stood at the altar crying. And Ina finally said to her, okay, when you're ready to do this, this is what you need to say to the Lord. She wasn't ready to do it then, but the Holy Spirit convicted her heavily, because Muslim culture, it isn't just a religion, it's a culture. Mm-hmm. And to go against that culture, to go against that religion, you can lose everything. Mm-hmm. And she understood the cost, but she heard the gospel. But she wouldn't have heard it, she wouldn't have gotten connected, probably, unless the woman in our house had asked if she could stay.
I think what's so remarkable about this, and we were talking before we started recording, that you've had numbers of salvations. And Matt, maybe you can give us a little bit of a reference to that. But what's remarkable about this, you know they're genuine conversions, because just as you were saying, it's a complete commitment where you witness to somebody in the United States where they could just say, oh, yeah, I'll just change my churches or denomination and I'll start going to church on a Sunday morning. This is a huge life-changing moment for these students, correct?
One of our students got a bicycle from us and met with us, and finally the bicycle kept breaking down, and Dennis kept going out to fix it. And finally he came to church, and he wanted a Bible, and he wanted a Jesus Loves Me shirt that has the Jewish star on it, and then he went home to Turkey. Dear God. I mean, it's like loosing future Billy Grahams in places where the gospel isn't popular. We picked up a young man at the airport and brought him to his work and stopped for dinner along the way. And he asked me what I do for a living, and I said I'm a pastor. And he startled and jumped back, and his jaw dropped. And he goes, "Are we at war?" "No, we're having dinner." But his picture of who pastors are is that we all carry machetes and that we're cruel. And that's not. I mean, so all of a sudden, he's having dinner. Now, he could have walked away from the dinner, could have walked away from the ride home, but that we were past that. We were already friends. He was already trusting of us. And I have to tell you that sometimes Muslims coming to American culture are astonished by the loose living and the seeing a fervent Muslim walk down the streets of, for example, Provincetown for the first time is shocking to them. They're appalled at how Americans live or how some Americans live, and to see that through their eyes, it's an amazing conversation.
One of the things what is remarkable about this is you have people that are coming from all different backgrounds. You're going to have the people that are coming from a Muslim background, Hindu background, Buddhist, or even from some maybe kind of religious, even Christian-associated background. But they're coming here, and they're all coming together, and they're all on the same kind of sort of flat foot, where now you have an opportunity to show them the love of Christ. And even if they were a Christian coming here for the first time, they'd leave with a completely life-changing experience. And you have at the very front of your ministry the opportunity to interact with these students. What would you say to our listeners who are listening and they think it's great, but they don't know how to even begin? Where do you even start?
I think kindness is a valuable Christian characteristic. Can you be kind? Yeah, it's easy to be kind when the days are easy. It's easy to be kind when your food comes on time. It's easy to be kind when the gas pump guy gets the right amount in. It's easy to be kind. It's hard to be kind when your food doesn't come in on time or when it's cooked wrong or whatever. How can you be kind? Well, kindness matters. And so in your daily life, you'll come across waiters and waitresses, and they'll be different from you, and you'll notice the difference. And one of the conversations I have is, your dialect is really sweet. Where's home? Now, you don't want to do that in a line with 47 people waiting for their donuts behind you, but at the same time, there'll be a time, as regularly as you go through your life, that God would open your eyes to see that folks around you are lost and desperately need a Savior. And once you have eyes to see, then all of a sudden the conversations open up and you can be involved in changing the life of a world changer.
Now, we're called to be salt and light in our communities. And you have a ministry that is being salt and light in an international way. So, Kathy, tell us a little bit more about what has kept you tied so closely to the J1 ministry? What has tied your heart to it as a ministry of pouring your time? And I know you put more time and energy into this than anyone has ever asked you to do. But what is it that has captured your heart about the J1 students?
God has captured my heart. I can't say it any different, because in my flesh, I wouldn't be doing this, but God has put a love in both of our hearts for these students and also for the H2B workers. And we hear their stories, we weep with them, we rejoice with them, but more than anything, we just desire for them to know our Jesus. And that's what keeps us going. My husband just was teasing me about how I had my face in my iPad most of the day today, because I'm getting inundated with questions and applications and all these things, and agents are asking me questions. But it's the love of Christ, because if I'm not doing what I'm doing, then they're not going to get to hear.
Now, you have both been working towards getting this as a real mission sending through your denomination, that you want this to be called as missionaries for this. But you've been doing this for years now without having been specifically called to this, or even commissioned and or even financed to do this work. And yet you've seen this ministry grow over the past 4 years that I've been involved with you guys. It's grown and doubled and tripled and quadrupled easily. So tell us a little bit about where you've seen it start and where you're seeing it's going, and sort of the vision that you have for it down the road.
Oh, wow. It started small. It started working with the Methodist Church. It started actually when we took an H-2B worker to Social Security, because she was having problems with her number. And the line with J1 students was out the door, out the building, down the sidewalk, almost to the street. And as we were coming in, because they had to wait in that line, we had to wait in a different line, God just had me focus on this one girl. And on the outside, she was laughing, she was joking, but when you looked into her eyes, you saw darkness, you saw emptiness, and you saw fear. And God just grabbed my heart then. It was about 2006. And then my husband went through cancer. And when in 2009, God started moving on me again, and he gave me this promise. He said, if you will do this, I promise that I will bring the students to you. You will not have to go find them. And in my great faith, quote unquote, as my husband is getting ready to have a stem cell transplant, and he had just gone through two rounds of chemotherapy, I said, I can't wait to see how you're going to do this, God, because I can't drive, and my husband's going through chemotherapy, and so I just can't wait to see how you're going to do this. I wasn't very faith-filled, and as I finished saying that to him, the doorbell rang, and it was a J1 student who saw our church van and wanted to come to church. And I said, okay, God, I get the message. You'll bring them to me. And now, through Hello Summer J1 Facebook group and through the Mid-Cape J1 Housing Program, he brings them to me through the internet. Last year, we had 1,160 housing requests.
One of the things that I know is very prominent, one of the things that I've been excited to see over the past 4 years of this ministry really developing, is that it's not built on dollars donations. It's really built on people giving up their time, and to see the amount of volunteers that you've had over the years of people that come in and they come back and they bring more people, that's pretty exciting. This is one of those ministries that if people don't have a lot to give financially, they could just give an hour of their day and make a world of difference. Correct, Matt?
Absolutely. Though, of course, if you wanted to write us a check, we would find good and godly use for any funds that come in. But just having an ear, as you're walking through your day, you will hear that God has sent them to you. And you'll say, okay, now how do I be friendly? How do I be kind? And once you're kind, you might invite them to a barbecue. I keep it talking about food because that's from my cultures also. But once you invite them to a barbecue or a cookout or whatever it is that you love to do, they won't come alone. They'll bring their friends. And that is even better, because all of a sudden, the world opens up. We sat for lunch with two young men from Egypt at a time when Egypt was going through serious conflicts. You see conflicts on the news and you think, oh, that's in Egypt. But all of a sudden, I have two young men in front of me and they are torn because their friends are out protesting. Their friends text them and say, come out and protest with us. They said, we can't. We're in America. No, really, come out and protest with us. And they'd send them pictures of what we were doing and that this is America and this is where we are. And so all of a sudden, the troubles of the world, and these young men were fiercely concerned for their friends. Some of their friends got killed in those conflicts. And here they are in America. And in fact, one young man got so scared of going home that he didn't. And we don't like people to go underground. It's scary. But when we reestablished contact with him, he had survived being underground and being. But people get mistreated. He got paid $2 an hour because he was now an illegal, and being illegal is hard, particularly for a student who don't have any friends or family or whatever here. Pray, and I'll give you the nations. They're here, Adam. They're here, and they're world changers, and they want to hear from a friendly American. Your audience has a golden opportunity. And we'd be happy to guide them with whatever works for them, whatever they love to do, sailing or surfing or trips. Boston trips are really a blast. We have some vans. We run up to Boston a couple times a month or to Newport. It's just a fascinating place. And like you talked about, the J1s come into a number of tourist areas all around the country, from Disney to Baltimore to Grand Canyon to whatever. And sometimes the students don't come back to the Cape because they want to see someplace else. One young woman that we care about deeply loved the Grand Canyon. That was part of her trip afterwards because it's a work and travel program. The students think it's a work and then travel program, but okay. They work so hard. So if people were to open up their bedrooms, maybe 100, maybe 100 and a quarter a week, a student, you could set up your own house rules. This is allowed, this isn't. And all of a sudden, you're living with a world changer. Now, you may not see them much because they may be working two jobs. They may be bicycling miles to work or whatever. But as the flash goes by, you go, whoa. And then often they want to be part of your culture, and some of them have never been in an evangelical church. And all of a sudden, we had a young woman who had only been to an Orthodox church, and she was just such a sweetheart. And she looked up at me, and I was on the pulpit, and God has blessed us. And I raised my hands, and she looked me in the eye, and her hands up. For the first time in her life, instead of going through the ritual of church, she truly, wonderfully worshiped the Lord Jesus. So cool.
It's a remarkable ministry. I've said it before, it's one of my favorite ministries here on the Cape, and the impact that it's having, not just here, but globally with the international students that are coming here, is such a remarkable opportunity. So we've been talking with Matt and Kathy Boyle. They're part of the directors of the J1 student visa program here called Hello Summer J1. And you can find out more information by giving our office a call. It's 508-362-7070. And we get calls all the time whenever we have you on the air because people really care about what you guys are doing. We hope you enjoyed this interview made possible by our ministry at Songtime Radio. You can find out more information about our ministry by visiting our website at songtime.com, where you can find this and other interviews on our podcast series, as well as our weekday broadcast, which includes teaching, interviews, and music. We also want to encourage you to sign up for our free monthly newsletter. It's got encouraging articles, and there is no obligation. To find out more information about our ministry, again, visit our website at songtime.com. This ministry is made possible by people just like yourself. We are 100% supported by our listeners. So if you have been blessed today, why not join with the many voices together for that one message, the gospel of Jesus Christ, with your donation to the Songtime Ministry. To make a donation, you can do so online at our website at songtime.com, as well as by mail. Write to us at Songtime Radio, P.O. Box 100, Barnstable, Massachusetts, 02630, or give us a call. Make a donation over the phone. It's 508-362-7070. On behalf of our entire Songtime staff, and our own Dr. John DeBrine, the founder here at Songtime, who encourages you to grow in grace and not groan in disgrace. From Cape Cod, I'm Adam Miller. God bless.